I left Twitter a couple of years ago. I just wasn't working for me anymore and I needed to cut something out. But I noticed that my friend and content conversion strategist, Deb Coleman, has been crushing it on there. She keeps telling me to go back. So I brought her back on the show to share why Twitter is great for podcasters, what the best features are, tips on how to leverage it, best practices, and why social trust is key to getting the most out of Twitter. Let's take a listen. So, hey, welcome to the Leverage Your Podcast Show. I'm your host, Lindsay Phillips of smoothbusinesspodcasting.com. My goal is to help you leverage podcasting to skyrocket your visibility, authority, and business by sharing insider secrets from podcast industry experts, including myself, who have created a successful business through podcasting. So let's dive in. Hey guys, I have a returning visitor today, one of my good friends and such an amazing online marketer, content marketer, and Twitter wizard. That's what I'm going to call you, Deb. And I wanted to have her back. We talked about social trust before. So of course, I will put a link to that episode on the bottom of this one. But Deb, you've been using Twitter and you keep telling me to come over to the dark side or come out of the dark side. I don't know which. And it is, you're just getting so much success from it. So I wanted to tap into what you're doing so that other entrepreneurs and podcasters can leverage Twitter to get more listeners on their podcast.
Awesome. My favorite topic. So
I know.
And yes, I will bring you over kicking and screaming one of these days. But who knows, maybe after our episode here, because it's all about leveraging the power of Twitter as a podcaster or a podcast guest even. So hopefully when listeners see what they can be doing with that platform, it will be reason enough to give it a whirl. Or if you're there, start using it in a way that drives listeners and traffic to what you want to send people to.
So tell me, like, why you love Twitter so much? Because I know there's been so much controversy of like who's owned it and all the politics and all the bad stuff, which we won't go into. But it just feels like, oh, Reels and TikTok. So like, is Twitter still relevant?
Yeah, so I think it is. And you're right. There's a lot going on there. And you'll see a lot of conversation of, you know, for a while there were a lot of people saying they were going to leave, or they have, some seem to have gotten a lot more quiet. They're not posting as much and that sort of thing, but they're there. There's 237 million active daily users.
Active daily users?
Yes.
Holy Hannah.
This is a lot of people. So when people say, oh, I don't know if my audience is there, I don't know if it's worth my time, they're likely there. Again, not everyone is posting all the time. A lot of people use Twitter to consume more than they post. So actually, I almost forgot about this tip. I don't know the statistic off the top of my head, but the number of those who post, or the percentage, is way smaller than those who are there consuming. So we could kind of see that that's a great opportunity for those of us who are posting, who are putting content out there. There's not, you know, the same level perhaps of competition as there might be somewhere else where a lot of people are pushing out. So really interesting, I thought. And also that, you know, when you make connections, as I do, based on the concepts of social trust, of like building relationships, engaging with other people, really getting to know who they are, not just what they do in their business, that you can find them regardless of what the algorithm is doing, regardless of the reach, which tends to kind of ebb and flow. And it's really, you know, many feel it's down these days. You know, but you can seek out people, you can use some of the functions of Twitter to find the people that you want to. So it's like anywhere else, I believe it's what you make of it. And, you know, when you're making those connections that lead to collaborations or sales and clients, it's worthwhile to me to be there.
Yeah. And like, for me, I feel that way about LinkedIn right now. Like, it's been such a great connection tool, collaborating, building those relationships, and like a sales tool, if you will, versus like the social aspect of it. And I guess Twitter has a bad rap for it's like, oh, everyone's so negative on it. So you're saying, yes, people in business are still posting and having conversations.
Absolutely. And when that conversation comes around of, oh, but it's so negative, there's so many bad things, many of the people that I connect with, which is quite a few over there, say, I don't know what you're looking at because I'm not seeing that.
Awesome.
You know, and what I love to say about Twitter, and this is true of the other platforms, you curate your own feed.
Awesome.
What you engage with is what you're going to see more of. So yes, if you see the negative and you click on it and you go over there and you
connect,
stay there, even if you're not saying a word or tweeting, it knows, like the algorithm knows that stuff. It's going to show you more of that.
Right.
So you can use features like creating a Twitter list of accounts that you want to see and labeling it. Like it can be private, so it's only for you, like people I really want to engage with. I mean, I actually have one of those who I want to engage with, or a list of marketers or podcast hosts, or great content people, whatever you want it to be. They can also be public, so you can find someone else's list, take a look at who's on there, say, hey, I like to connect with those people.
Right.
And you can follow that list. And then that allows you to see that stream of just those people who are on the list. So we can find our ways around things that happen with the platform to see what we want to see.
Yeah.
You know, and engage with what we want to engage with, and then create more of that. Because like anything else, one of the biggest things I do on Twitter is, you know, pay attention to who my connections are paying attention to.
Mm.
Like if they're sharing something, retweeting something, commenting, and I fully trust their, you know, expertise or their judgment or whatever you might want to call it, then I probably want to follow that person too.
Yeah.
You know, so some people don't always do that. They're just kind of in the moment and they shut it down and they go away. But if I see someone out there and see, oh, and it will tell you, these are the people who follow, and it will say who you're connected with.
Yeah.
Much like LinkedIn, right? Yeah. That you can say, oh, this is probably something here for me too. So if nothing else, you'll at least check it out further, or you may just go ahead and connect with the person or follow them on Twitter. Many of my Twitter friends will say they like the Twitter, LinkedIn, the 1-2, if you will, of social media platforms. They love Twitter and they also like to have LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. So it's really a great, like what you're saying about LinkedIn is surely true, to use both and have even more, because some are going to make a preference where they spend more of their time. But the two are really a nice way to do the things that you were saying too.
Yeah. And you still need to like post a million times a day on Twitter, because they're always like, oh, the feeds go so fast that you gotta like repeat things, or you have to post 4 times in a day. And I'm like,
I don't subscribe to that. I know. Okay. And I think much like you and I know we think very similarly around social media in general, that it's quality over quantity, right? Yeah. I mean, well, on any of the platforms, but you're right, on Twitter. And I was a believer too. I have to post 21 times a day and you have to be there. And what happened to me that led to social trust, you know, in terms of my Twitter chat, as well as just going deep into that concept, was when I ran out of stuff to post. Like I just reached a little lull where I didn't have a lot lined up. And I said, okay, what am I going to do? I'm just going to engage with what's out there. And that's one of the best strategies for any of the platforms. Again, find the topics, whether it's the hashtags or just the phrases, the people that you want to connect with and engage with what's already there. So some days I don't post much at all, but I'm there and I'm engaging with what's there. So
smart.
I have a presence, and it's much easier to do. And it's much more rewarding because you're interacting with what someone else has started as a conversation. So much more
Yeah.
meaningful than the one way everyone's blasting their stuff and
Right.
no one's kind of paying attention to anybody else, which we can see a lot on many of the platforms. So no, you don't have to post, a crazy amount of times a
Thank
day.
goodness.
I believe you can take breaks. People do it all the time. It's okay. People don't always notice you're gone. We're not as important as we might think sometimes. And also people recognize that, some people come back and say, I took a break. I had a lot going on. I really needed to kind of get away. And you jump right back in when you're building relationships, they don't dissolve or disappear
True.
in that time.
Yeah. And I've noticed too when I'm on a, like I see posts that are interesting and I'll comment, but I notice that the other people that have commented that they viewed my profile or they've connected with me. So I'm like, the more that I comment on other people's posts and stuff like that, it come and I've been like, oh, who's that person? Oh, are they in the podcast industry? And then I click on them, check them out. And going down a bit of a rabbit hole. But like, if you're connecting with people that matter in your business, then it's all good.
Absolutely. Rabbit holes are rewarding in that way, right? We tend to think, oh no, but it's a great way. And I also call it like following the breadcrumbs. Like, oh, who's that? Just like you said, what are they all about? Oh, look, let me go look at their website. And like you said, they're a podcaster. Let me listen to one of their episodes. Oh, let me apply to be on one or reach out, right? It's this whole strategy that only begins if we're paying attention to what other people are doing versus just, I got to get this post out there and then close down the app. So yeah, there's
Love that.
so much that can do. And because Twitter is kind of quick and fleeting, if you will, you can, it's a great way to just kind of jump in when you can.
Yeah, true,
And there's
true.
plenty going by and on that you can engage with.
I love that. And I've heard you talk about like Twitter chats. Like, what are they? I have
Yeah,
no idea.
okay. I host a regular Twitter chat, and it's much like a podcast interview that
Okay.
happens over tweets. So there's a list of questions and a guest expert typically,
Oh, okay.
and the guest expert will have the questions ahead of time and they're formulated in the tweet. So it will say question number one, here's what it is. And then the guest will answer in a tweet, but the
Oh.
whole community also answers too. So it's a way to really build community around a topic and or a set of topics. Like mine are all ones that relate to small business owners and entrepreneurs being online. And we cover a lot of different things. In fact, we recently covered mental health. Like it's not simply business topics. And here's where the hashtag comes into play. So each Twitter chat will have its own hashtag that it uses, mine being social trust, so people can find those conversations. They can just search and see if they're not following me or they're not paying attention to my profile to see the questions pop up. And it's at a designated time,
I was just
typically the
gonna ask that
same day and
next.
time every week, so people get into that routine. It's really a wonderful way to build community and make connections and for people to network and much like you said, see, oh, who's this person? And oh, I think I might want to follow them. And there's nothing I love more than seeing people in my social trust community meet each other and then say, hey, let's do a virtual coffee. And then you start seeing them sharing each other's stuff
Oh,
on
nice.
Twitter and or collaborating even further. And it's exactly how it works. And it's a pretty natural, organic way to make that happen.
It's so like a group conversation, really,
It
but
is.
guided. Yeah.
Yes. And sometimes once a month I have no guest so that I really want to be sure that the community feels that they are seen and heard.
Yeah.
They are every week anyway, but it's another way to just kind of
Yeah.
take that one element out
Totally.
and focus on a community conversation.
And what are Twitter spaces?
Spaces is the social audio platform within Twitter, which is audio only, and you just can go in, and I use it in conjunction with my Twitter chat on a different day, but on the same time of day, we will have an audio conversation. So people who can't tweet as fast, or you know, you can kind of get lost in a Twitter chat. It goes super, super
fast. It would
fast.
Go fast.
You know, some prefer to speak and or just listen. So the wonderful thing about a space is you as the host designate who gets to speak. And I will always start out with just myself and the guest expert. And then I invite other people in. They can raise their hands if they're on mobile, and they can be brought up to ask a question or make a comment. And in the meantime, they can also be tweeting things and sharing it and inviting more people to come in. So it's a nice other way to use Twitter.
So kind of like Clubhouse?
Very similar. Yes. So super similar.
Is Clubhouse
they can be
still
recorded.
Going?
Yes, it is.
Is it?
It's still
I know
going
people
strong.
Were like, woo. And then
yeah,
kind of like.
Like with anything, I know. But people, there are a lot of benefits to social audio, and we don't always think about people who, you know, whether they have visual limitations or it's just not a preference. I mean, it's also important to note that it's not always that people can't do it, but they just don't prefer that way of communicating. So they much rather listen, much like so.
Especially if you're on your phone, like it's so much easier.
So think about podcast listeners are probably likely to be ones who would listen in on a Twitter space.
That's
super
so
similar,
true.
You know?
Yeah, I love that. And so obviously on Twitter, I remember you can like, you can retweet, reply. And so are they still leaning heavily in the retweeting? Because I know for LinkedIn right now, apparently, they're not loving when you share other people's stuff. And I'm like, really? I'm like, come on.
No, retweeting is, I'm sure it's here to stay. And exactly what you're talking about, which I just tweeted about this yesterday, I think it was, content curation of sharing other people's content is hugely valuable, rewarding. It's a great strategy when you do it the right way. So on Twitter, and as you know, on LinkedIn, you know, when we tag the people we're talking about, the creator, and the publication or the podcast. So if they're tweeting about your guest, they want to also tweet about you as the host and name the podcast.
Yeah.
That is a great way to be seen, to make connections, to bring value to your audience who's already following you. But as you know, tapping into the audience of the podcast host and the podcast guest, I mean, people appreciate that kind of thing. And to add meaning for your audience and say why you're sharing it, you know, don't simply just share.
No.
So retweets are great and simple and easy, but quote tweets where you add a little bit to it, sharing Lindsay's episode, which I've
why
done
you're
this one
why
too.
You're sharing it in the first place, right? Like you need to have that context.
Exactly. Love what she says about email marketing. I did that with your recent episode. Say why, so that your audience doesn't just kind of gloss over and pass it by, but feel really more compelled to check it out.
Yeah. I love when people share other people's stuff on social. I'm like, ooh, what's that that they know? Like they found an article that I didn't have time to find or resource or, you know, tidbit of information. Like we all need to help each other out, right? So it's like the fact that an algorithm is like, I don't like when you are sharing someone else's stuff. I'm like, why?
Right.
It makes me so mad.
It's a great trust builder and it's a great connection piece. And you're right. And when it's someone that you trust, so for instance, like if you share something because we have a relationship, I'm more likely to check it out, you know, and then I'm more likely to share it. So now we've got even more people bringing attention to a podcast episode or an article. And that's the way, I mean, that's what social is intended
it should
for.
Be. Like,
you know,
it's like, Anyways, I'll get off my
exactly.
Obviously, it's still 280 characters, right? They haven't changed that.
Oh, they have for those who pay to be verified. And it's a little like everyone has their own, school of thought on it. I did not buy the blue check, and there's a lot of people are feeling this way and that way about that, without getting into it though. But when you do, you can get the longer tweets. I believe it's 4,000 characters or something crazy.
That is a
So
little bit
some are
nuts.
not loving it, some are finding like it. That's not what I come to Twitter for. I want quick, easy to consume. Others like it because they were doing Twitter threads anyway, where they were connecting a whole bunch of tweets to tell a story or outline several, many, many points. But for most of us, or people who have not become Twitter verified or bought the Twitter verification check, we're limited to 280. And a lot of people like that. It says, a lot of people
I like the
share.
short and sweet to the
Yeah.
point.
It makes us better writers, right? We're forced to be clear, we're forced to be concise, and it's not a bad thing.
No, I totally agree. And so where it comes to hashtags, I remember people were like, put as many as you can that fits the character count. Only use one, only use three. Like,
Right.
is there a rule?
No, I don't think so, but I also think it's changed over time. So back in the beginning of when I was there, which I don't know what it's been, maybe a decade or so, it was more the norm was like, yes, use one or two. It's the only way you're going to get seen, and make sure you choose wisely on which ones they are. I found that the more stripped down tweets, the better. And when I say that, I mean like without hashtags, without an image, without anything
Oh, without
overly
an image.
branded. Yeah. So get this. So this is the other thing that I kind of noticed myself and then realized a lot of people are doing this. And what is it about that? And I believe it's that it feels more like you're talking to me.
Like a
Not
text.
right. Not that you sat in front of Canva, and not that there's anything wrong with that.
I
And there's a
know.
place for that. You created something and you scheduled it and you really deliberated over your language and had the hashtags. Like it looks a little too good.
Little
And,
contrived, yeah.
exactly. And if I see you just tweet, and even believe it or not, there's an error or something in there or slang or I feel like it's you. You didn't hashtag it. You're
Right.
just speaking, and it invites engagement a lot more. So I do a mix of it. I do use hashtags. They are helpful. They will help people find you. Obviously, for Twitter chats, if you don't use them, people probably won't see those tweets. But in general, I use them kind of sparingly.
Yeah, okay, that's good to know. And what about picture sizes? Because I know things change all the time. And I find that like LinkedIn has its own size, Facebook has its own size,
Yeah.
but it's not like everyone's making five different versions of their image on social.
No, I
They're
know,
just
but I've done that before. I used to use the Twitter size, which I don't know off the top of my head. And the reason I don't know it is because the size we use for Instagram has also worked on Twitter too.
yes, which is
So
way
there's,
easier.
yeah, there's been a lot of, and there's been some shifts in that too. Like at times, certain things where the images were kind of truncated on mobile
Yeah.
and, but for the most part now I'm not seeing that happening. So usually I use everything from what comes off my camera as is
Yeah.
to an actual Twitter image that I do create in Canva, and sometimes I use the dimensions that are in there or whatever platform you use or the Instagram. So again, I think there's a little
Okay.
more flexibility than there
Thank
used to
goodness.
be when it comes to that.
Yeah. Because it is annoying having to like
Oh,
be so specific to the platform. It's
it
like,
can be.
why can't they
Yes.
make it easier on us businesses?
Right.
So when you're sharing like you're a guest on a podcast or you're a host on a podcast, like what would you say are some of the best practices to leverage Twitter to like share your expertise, the episode,
Yeah.
whatever?
So I love this because I think a lot of times on Twitter in particular, I see podcast hosts and bloggers, people who create, saying things like, here's the latest blog, here's the latest podcast, here's my interview with so and so on this topic, check it out. And it's very formulaic And I always say that that kind of content becomes invisible pretty quickly. Like people, even if they love you, they're just like they're not like, that curious anymore.
Yeah.
So the more we can vary the presentation. And another thing I think for podcasters to do and or guests is not simply post straight up, here's the episode anyway, but what else is going on? How are you serving clients? What are you doing behind the scenes? As much as you're comfortable sharing, what do you do in your time away from work? Like, give me more of a full picture of who you are and why I should be, you know, interested in what your content is. And then I, you know, much like we were saying about the content curation of other people's content, tell me why I should listen to this episode, which I know you do a great job with this.
Like, what's in it for me kind of a thing.
Yeah. Pull a quote from it and then say, here's how you can, you know, listen to the full episode or I loved what so-and-so had to say about this. Check it out for yourself. And so there's a lot that we can do. In addition to posting before the episode airs, which I did for us yesterday, and I tweeted that I was going to be recording with you today. So podcast hosts and guests can be kind of building some interest.
Yeah, like, that's true.
I'll let you know when it drops, when the episode's available, or if you can add your image. Like another one I'd love to do with us before we get off here is take a screenshot and share the two of you, you know, recording the episode. So they're like, oh, I recognize her. Who is she? Wait a minute. You know, and now we have people a little more interested when the episode comes, they're going to be more likely to check it out. So in addition to just the obvious of bringing attention to the host, the guest, the podcast name, we can just be making it more interesting for our audience.
Couldn't agree more. Can you go live in Twitter? Like you can
LinkedIn
and Facebook?
Yeah. Yes, you can with certain platforms. You can record on Twitter. In fact, a lot of people recommend when you're replying to a tweet, you can do a video and say, hey, Lindsay, super effective, super personal. People love it.
I like that.
Other people will see it, but it, you know, or can see it. Which is great, but it's also to you. Like I'll just reply to you and you'll see me answer your question or say hi or whatever it is. So yes, you can do some of that. A lot of the third party apps will allow you to go stream to Twitter like you do to the other one. So there's really so many different formats that your content can take.
And I've seen, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if you put a YouTube link in there, it doesn't hyperlink you out of YouTube. It just plays within Twitter.
I think that might be true. Now, something's changed recently with the free API and the access and all that. So I don't know the very, very latest, but you're right. There are some things that will just play right in the platform.
Yeah.
Which is always nice when people don't have to get, it depends on what you're wanting to do, but you know, it can be nice to do that. So it's always wonderful to just kind of play around in there, experiment, see what you can do. It does change all the time. So even when people are listening to this episode, things may be different. That's often what happens. But all the more reason to kind of stay on top of what do you see other people doing?
Yeah.
What's the latest, greatest thing that you can do? Because those newer things are often the things that people will pay more attention to, you know, as well.
True, true. And is there anything we need to know in regards to sharing links? Because again, I know everyone is like, oh, sharing a link in the post in general is frowned upon. You can't use the word link. You can't use the word comment. And then you want to put the link in the first comment. It's like, I can't even keep track.
I know. And it sometimes changes. So I think in general, much like the use of hashtags, if all your tweets contain links.
Yeah.
It's not that they won't be seen, but the audience gets a little like, you know, like you're sending me somewhere else or seems promotional, even though it might not be, or spammy if you want to go that far. So I think like anything else, you want to use them sparingly. You want to have a variety of content that goes out. And some are going to be, yes, I'm opening my program and here's the link to check it out. Whether that reach gets diminished, I'm not sure. I mean, I think again, when you use the other ways to stay connected with people, your people will likely see it, you know, and then often share it. So again, when you create content that other people care about and want to share with their audience, you could kind of, you know, work your way around any restrictions that algorithms or platforms might put on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. True, so true. I do share the link right in there. I mean, if it's appropriate, it's just, you know, you have to make it easy for the user, I feel like, above everything else. So, so for now, that works.
I feel like the social media platforms are just making it more difficult and more difficult.
It can be.
Don't they have anything better to do?
You would think.
Boy. Well, thank you for letting me pick your brain and ask you all of these questions about Twitter. Because I'm like,
should
I go back? Should I not? But you do entice me, my dear Deb.
Yeah. Well, what you'll find, Lindsay, if and when you come back, which I hope that you do, is so many people know you there that maybe you don't realize that they're active, that when you share your episodes or you're so amazing at your repurposing and the variety of content that you put out, that when they start seeing that, they're going to just, that's helpful for their audiences. So they're really wanting to share things like not just the podcast episode, but everything that you put out. So, again, I think it's what we make of it over there. And I get that not everyone feels like they know how to navigate the platform, but there's support. I help people do that.
Nice.
And you can also learn as you go and see what's working. And it depends on what our bottom line is. If we want to reach more people, we want to make more money, we want to find more guests for our podcast or listeners for our podcast, why would we not want to tap into such a, you know, highly used social media platform that no one's going to frown if we do decide to post 10 times in a day, right? There's the flip side. Try, you know, 10 posts on Facebook every day, and I don't know, people might not care so much for that, but you can do that on Twitter and you're not bombarding people. You don't have to do that. So I feel like it offers us a wide
forgiving
range.
It feels like
very forgiving, very, very forgiving. I will say that for sure. And that's one of the reasons I love it.
Right?
Be ourselves, say what you're thinking, say, I'm about to watch something on Netflix. Anybody have good suggestions? I mean, it's always those real, not fake fill in the blank kind of things.
Yeah.
So those don't work so well, but the real, like, hey, everybody, I'm kind of struggling with this. Anybody else know what to do or have something you'd recommend? And you would be amazed at what happens from people you don't even know who see that.
Interesting.
So it's really kind of cool. And then it often can lead to business and so forth. So it's super forgiving and it can be a lot of fun. Like people seem to like let loose a little bit there and relax in their presence too.
I love that. Yeah. I'm more likely to go into Twitter than I am TikTok.
All right. Okay.
That's for
We're
sure.
Closer. Yeah.
Because I don't have to be on video all the time.
Same here. Same here.
Awesome. So let me know where people can find you and how you can help them build social trust and create, you know, amazing content online.
Oh, thanks so much. Everyone can find me. I'd hope you'd find me on Twitter if you're listening in, and I'm at Deb Coleman Writing on Twitter and most platforms. My website is debcoman.com, C-O-M-A-N.com. And also I'm happy to share some 21 content topics to get people going on how to build trust. If they're wondering, what do I tweet about? What do I write about? How can I interest people in my podcast? And they can grab that at debcoman.com/topics.
Perfect. Yeah. Who doesn't need help writing more content and getting ideas? I know people get stuck in their own heads, don't they?
Yeah. And I love nothing more than helping people figure out why they're getting stuck and helping it flow so that they can really just show up as who they are
Yeah.
and also know some of the strategies so that it's really making the best use of their time and their effort. Because
Yeah.
as you know, people say, oh, social media takes so much time and I'm not getting much out of it. It's probably because the strategy is not right. And with sometimes with very minor tweaks and often doing less versus doing more, you can actually get better
Yeah.
results. So I'd
I
love to help
know.
people do that if they're interested.
And it's like putting the content out, like that's just one piece of the puzzle. You know what I mean? You need to like
Absolutely.
do all of the other things to make that like, you know, get more
Right.
eyeballs and
I always say, if you're not engaging with other people's content, why should those people be interested in when and you put
yeah.
something out, right? I mean, it's about that building trust, and it's not a I'll do one and then you do one. But if you're showing up for them, when you post your thing, your podcast episode, your blog, they're going to say, oh, you know what? The least I can do is check this
Yeah,
out or
yeah.
share it or retweet it. And often they'll go above and beyond. So it makes a lot of sense. But I think as content creators, people do get stuck in the, I got to just keep making more content and getting it out there. And you're right, that's only it's actually a very small piece of
Yeah.
the process overall.
Agreed. Totally. Loved everything that you've said today. So many good tips. Took lots of mental notes, and when I write my show notes, I'll absorb it again. So, thank you
Perfect.
so much, my Twitter wizard, Deb Coleman.
Thank you, Lindsay. Always loved speaking with you and your audience.
Right, see you guys till next week. And that is a wrap for this episode of the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Your next step, head to leverageyourpodcastshow.com to listen to more episodes to get more insider secrets. And if you are guesting on podcasts but still feel like the best kept secret and you want to create authority boosting content with ease while attracting leads and clients, then request a free podcast guest leverage audit to transform your results. Head to leverageyourpodcast.com/guest audit.